Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh. Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, whatever state you're in. A light. We are moving on page 38 of the book Tafsir of Juz Amma. And we're moving into the 111th surah, which is Surah Al-Masad. And today we'll be moving at least through two, possibly three surahs. We'll open with the Fatiha and then we'll begin the reading itself. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alaminir rahmanir rahim. Maliki yawmiddin. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. Surah Al-Masad has the words twisted fiber, twisted palm fibers in it, so it's called twisted palm fibers. And it has five ayats. Bismillah Rahman Rahim. Tabat Yada Abi Labi Wa Tab. Ma a'nanhu maluhu wal ma kasab sayasla naran data lahab amratu hamalatal hatob fi jidiha zhablum min masad. Sidi writes, this surah was revealed in Mecca and consists of five verses. Allah says in it, Tabat yada abi lahabin, the first ayat, perish the hands of Abu Lahab, meaning may the hand of Abu Lahab be destroyed. He's Abd al-Uzza bin Abd al-Muttalib, the uncle of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's related that when the verse, and warn your near of kin, from the Quran 26:2-14 was revealed, the Prophet ascended to Mount Safa, and the people gathered around him. So he said, O tribe of Bani Abd al-Muttalib, O tribe of Bani Fahd, if I told you that behind this mountain is an army of horses, would you believe me? And they replied in the affirmative. And then he said, then I am a warner to you of a severe punishment. So Abu Lahab said, may you be destroyed, Taban. Is it for this you summoned us? And he took a stone and threw it at his nephew. So the surah was revealed, which begins, may the hand of Abu Lahab find loss and destruction. Tabat. Watab. And may they fully perish, still from the first ayat. The repetition implies total destruction and acts as an intensification of the previous curse. It is also said to mean, may what his hands have wrought perish to oblivion. Ma'nan hu ma'lahu wa ma'kasab. The second ayah. His wealth and what earnings he amassed will not avail him. Meaning when the moment of destruction comes upon him, then nothing will avail him or save him from it. His monetary wealth and property, his high social status, his subordinates, his inherited wealth, the wealth which he himself earned during his filthy work of enmity against the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or any of his achievements or accomplishments which he imagined would be of any value, none of these would save him from the torment he would face. Allah says, and we bring forth the actions they did and cause them to be as scattered dust. Quran 25:23. It's narrated that he used to say, if this nephew of mine really speaks the truth, then I sell myself from him, disown him with my money and children, so that I become free of him. And he did not achieve what he wished for, nor did he find any success. His son, Utbah, was hunting a lion in Syria, which then attacked and killed him. For the messenger used to pray, O Allah, unleash upon him one of your wild beasts. And Abu Lahab himself met death by the plague. Sayasla Naran, he will roast in a fire, the third ayat, meaning he will without doubt be cast after his worldly punishment into a fire. Avata Lahab, fiercely flaming, the third ayat, meaning a tremendous fire with enormous flames, and it refers to the fire of Jahannam, which he will enter because of his obstinate rebellion and what his hands wrought. Amratu, and his wife, the fourth ayat, referring to his spouse Arwa bint Harb. She used to carry thorns during the night and throw them on the paths which the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam would walk upon. And the Messenger would walk upon them as if they were silk. She would also carry false tales to divide people and kindle the flames of hatred between them. Hamlata al-tab jidiha hablum min masad, carrier of firewood, who bears around her neck a rope of twisted strands, the fourth and fifth ayat. On the day of rising, she will carry the firewood of hell on her back, such as Zakum. See Quran 44:43-46, which will be kindled that she would burn and taste the most terrible torment because of the evil she did in this life. And the fire will also burn around her neck just as the rope is tied around the neck. It's narrated that when these verses were revealed about her, she came to the Prophet's house with a rock in her hand, which she wanted to throw at the Prophet and kill him. And Abu Bakr was with him, and so Allah caused her to not see the Prophet. She asked Abu Bakr, "Where is Muhammad? How can you see him?" Then she exited and sat near a rock, at which point she was choked by an angel and died. And know that the two hands of Abu Lahab became bankrupt, and he has been cursed explicitly in the Quran over all these centuries because he was the first among the Arabs to openly show kufr, disbelief, and rejection of the truth. So he was the father of the deniers, and anyone who shows enmity and rejection to the elect will be joined in the same path with Abu Lahab. And his wealth and position, what he gains, will avail him nothing. He'll roast in the flaming fire of separation and farness. And his mirror, mirat, meaning his self, will be carrying the heavy burdens. And know that Abu Lahab met with total destruction for the sake of his impure actions, because of which he earned this fiery punishment that never separates people from destruction. And his essence was destroyed according to its predisposition, meaning he deserved the fire because of his essence. The wealth he owns and what he gains will not avail him, which can also refer to what he originally has of innate knowledge in his predisposition. He will suffer in a great fire because of his support of associationism, shirk, which in addition will have mighty flames because of his evil acts and their stains. So he will suffer in the fire because of his corrupt beliefs and evil acts, as will also his wife, who herself will carry the heavy weight of her sins and evil acts. And this because of her love of impurity and obscenity. So these evil acts of hers will be as a rope tied around her. And Allah knows best. This is the 110th surah, Surah Al-Nasr. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Idha jaa nasrullahi wal fath. Ra'aita an-nasa yadkhuluna fi dinillahi afwaja. Fasabi bihamdi rabbika wastaghfir innahu kana tawwaba. Idja nasrullahi, from the first ayat, when the succor of Allah comes, meaning support from the Malakut and the Holy Strengthening. Refer to Quran 2:253. By the manifestation, the Jali, of the divine names and qualities. Wal Fath, and the opening victory. Meaning, into the absolute, after which there is no opening. This refers to the opening of the door of the presence of the divine oneness and the unveiling of the essence, and occurs after the manifest opening, the Quran 48:1, in the station of Ruh, by contemplative witnessing, mushahada, mushahada. The second ayat, وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ. And you see people enter the religion of Allah, meaning Tawheed, divine unity, and walking upon the straight path because of the effect of your light upon them after being free of perfecting yourself. Afwaj, in droves. They will be gathered as if they are one soul which emanates from the emanation of your essence and occupies the place or the station of your soul, nafs. And they are those who have a full disposition and preparedness, who have with the soul of the messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a familial connection and tie which necessitates their ability to receive his emanation. Fasabi. So extol, in the third ayat, meaning exalt your essence from being veiled in the station of the heart, which is the mine of prophethood, by severing its ties with the corporeal body, and rising to the station of the truth of certitude, al-haq al-yakin, which is the mine of sainthood. Bihamdi rabbika. The limitless glory of your Lord, and praise him. Meaning lauding him by speaking of his perfections and exposing his complete attributes when done with actions of praise. Wastaghfir, and seek his forgiveness. Meaning, and ask for the covering from his essence to come over your essence, as was the situation in the state of annihilation, fanah, before returning to the creation forever. Innahu kana tawwaba. For indeed he is oft relenting. Meaning accepting any accepting of any who return to him into his fields by his light. And when the deen was completed and his message was established, which was the goal of his being sent, he was summoned to return to the station of the truth of certitude, al-haq al-yaqeen, which is not complete until after death. For this, when it was revealed and he recited it, the companions found pleasure by it. But Ibn Abbas cried. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him why he cried, and he said, because it indicates your passing away. So he said, this young boy has been granted much knowledge. And it is also narrated that when it was revealed, the Prophet gave a speech in which he said, a slave has been given the option by Allah to choose between this world or meeting him, Allah, and he has chosen meeting with Allah. So Abu Bakr knew the truth that he was referring to himself, and he said, may ourselves and wealth and fathers and children be sacrificed for you. And he called his daughter Fatima, may Allah be pleased with her, and told her, my daughter, your father has been informed of his near death. She began to weep, so he said, do not cry, for you are the first of my family to catch up with me. And she laughed out of joy. The surah is also called At-Tahdi, the parting. And it is narrated that he lived after it was revealed for 2 years, and it was revealed during the farewell speech. And this third surah for this reading is Suratul Kafirun, the 109th surah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Qul ya ayyuhal kafirun. La a'budu ma ta'budun. ولا أنتم عابدون ما أعبد ولا أنا عابد ما عبدتم ولا أنتم عابدون ما أعبد لكم دينكم ولي دين. Kul ya yuhal kafirun, the first ayat. Say, O you who cover over and reject the truth, meaning those who covered over the light of their original readiness, istidad, with the darkness of the qualities of the lower self and the traces left behind by immersion in corporeal nature. Because of this, they were veiled from the real, al-haq, by other than him. La budu, I do not worship, one on the second ayat. While I witness the truth with the essential witnessing, I will never worship. Ma tabudun, that which you worship. That which you worship among the gods fashioned by your desires and whims and formed in your imaginations and conjured up in your intellects because of the veils over your perceptions. Walla antum i'abiduna, and neither do you worship. While you are you, and while you are in your present state of being veiled, ma'budu, ma'buda, ma'bud, that which I worship. This statement is directed to those who prevented them from recognizing the truth among those whose hearts are sealed by the Quran. Wala ana abidum, the fourth ayat, and I will not worship at all. In the past, before perfection and complete arrival in accordance and with reference to the original disposition, meaning the essence in itself, ma batum, that which you have worshipped. in accordance and with reference to your primary disposition before your falling under the veil. I will not worship then what you worship due to the perfection of my predisposition in pre-eternity and its complete orientation towards the real, al-haq, in its natural disposition, fitra, and due to the imperfection of your predisposition in pre-eternity. وَاللَّا أَنْتُمْ عَابِدُونَ And neither would you worship in accordance with that predisposition. Ma'abud, that which I worship. Meaning, you will not find it possible to worship the object of my worship in accordance to the natural disposition, fitra, because of its essential deficiency. The result is that my worship of your object of worship and your worship of my object of worship is in accordance with the state we both find ourselves in, which is the second predisposition. In other words, my perfection and your being veiled. Both your worshiping my object of worship and my worshiping your object of worship is impossible in the present and in the future, and likewise in the past, before the secondary predisposition, due to the deficiency in your predisposition. The meaning here is the annulment of possibility in the future sense, present tense, both essence and qualities of the fitra, and past tense, to arrive at the fact of its being necessarily impossible throughout all of time. Lakum dinukum, to you, your religion, in the worship of the objects of your worship. Wali adin, and to me, my religion, in the worship of the object of my worship, meaning there will never be agreement between us. I leave you and your religion, so leave me and my religion. I think we'll stop there. We'll have three surahs today. We'll close with the Fatiha. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته